Hey everyone, this is Stelly FD.
And Heaton Shah.
And in today's episode of The Startup Chat, we're going to talk about common problems that early stage startups face.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life, and hopefully while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit. We got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
We want you to do your best. Yeah, I mean, in some ways you could say every problem, right? They need to start a company. There's simple things like legal and incorporation and finding co-founders if you don't have one. And then, you know, obviously the most important thing is just what are we doing? What business are we in, right? And all that stuff. So I'll start with kicking one off, which is related to some things that we've talked about before in previous episodes. But it's like basically one of the most common mistakes is they don't spend the time to make sure that either the people you're starting the company with, the co-founders, even the early team, if you have one, are aligned on values. So, you know, one thing I see them do is they don't really get aligned on values. It might mean you're not writing them down. Like, that's okay if that's not how you feel about it. But there's values that are occurring. There's culture that's happening. And just being deliberate about it, whatever way it is, right? Sometimes some companies, if they're like really product people, they might just write down some product principles because at least you have shared values around that. And early on in a company, usually product and building something, anything, or learning what the problem is really important.
With that being said, I think that one of the most common problems that I see startups have is that they don't, and I love there's a quote, so I'll use those words. We had an episode about words previously. They don't violently execute a mediocre plan today. They're trying to get to the perfect plan tomorrow.
Yeah.
And it drives me nuts.
Why do you think they do that?
I think it's just fear.
Fear of what?
Fear of failure, fear of uncovering what's wrong, what's bad. I think also comfort zone. Like, it's much more comfortable for the two of us to brainstorm about how we're going to take over the world than to attempt to really do it. And if we don't feel like we have all the answers, it's even more uncomfortable because now the chance of failure is so much bigger in our head. But if we think, if we just had a few more days to plan this, we'll plan it perfectly, which means that when we have to snap into action, we're going to succeed. I think that's the fallacy that people follow, is like they're trying to hack their way around failure by planning their way to perfection in their own mind. It's just a comfortable thing to – it's a fun thing to do. I love brainstorming new ideas and coming up with names for companies and doing all that easy work that's like – that's beautiful, comfy –
it's not execution.
It's not the brutal, dirty, messy work of execution. I like the idea of daydreaming being on top of Mount Everest, but I don't want to do the grindy, dirty, cold, hard work of getting up there. And I think that's really what it boils down to. I think people love that idea. That's one thing. And the other thing is that most people don't have experience in, like, just execution. In most people's careers, doesn't matter if it's like academically, what have we learned in school? But then also for most people that go into like a corporate career, you don't learn that there. You learn the planning and the meetings and the meetings for meetings and more meetings and the more planning.
Usually it's someone else's plan.
It's somebody else.
You didn't do the planning.
Yeah, and they learn the politicking and how to come up with really a nicer way of presenting this idea and how to make you also learn to be very tactical on making sure you don't make public mistakes.
Make sure you look good.
You need to look good.
And the startup's the exact opposite.
The exact opposite.
Looking good doesn't help you.
It doesn't. It's usually counterproductive.
Right.
So I think that just people are not used to that mode. They've had a corporate career. They've learned the whole way to operate within a certain framework. Yep. And then when they switch to a startup, they still use the same framework. And it's tough for them to switch.
Okay, so that's one demographic. Another is people who have never worked in a company and just start a company. And that's the first thing they do because that's becoming a more and more common thing.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if you did that, but I think you did as well, right? You just started a company. Yeah, same here. I just started a company. I didn't know how to work for anyone.
Yeah.
And many of us don't have the skills that are actually valuable that you get from working in an environment because working with people and motivating people isn't easy. And if you haven't seen a good version of that, then you're making it up, right? And, and if you don't have a natural inclination towards motivating and leadership and things like that, then you got to learn it, right, if you're in that role. So I think the mistake they make is they don't realize they're leaders. They don't realize that their behavior, their words, their persona impacts the company. Like what I like to say about it is like there's a little bit of the founders in everybody. Like just a little bit of the way they think. Otherwise, usually the people wouldn't be on the team.
Yeah, I mean, that's the another metaphor of this is the kind of the founders are birthing that, you know, the core DNA of the company. Yeah. And then everybody you add is influencing that, right. You know, baby as it grows up and have an impact on it. But yeah, obviously the people that are attracted to you and the thing you're passionate about will have
something common. Always.
There's something
even
common there.
They're like different than you, right? And that's the culture. And it's almost like you have to recognize that like these people are here, you know, partially and usually like primarily because of the people who are in the company already.
Yeah.
Right. And that realization, like if you're too late on that, then you start having people leave and stuff because you don't realize the things you're saying and your own evolution and what you need to do to keep up with your company. I call it keeping up with your company because, you know, there's more of them than you. If you want to look at it like that, right?
I like that. Keeping up with your company. There's more of them than you. I love that. So, all right. So let's riffing on that. I think for the people, for the founders that do realize that they are leaders.
Yeah.
I think one of the most common mistakes and a mistake that I've done for the longest period of time is that you think that in order to be a good leader, you need to pretend you're a perfect human being or you need to pretend – you need to keep a public appearance about you, even to your team, in ways that are not authentic to who you truly are. Now, the example to this is, for instance, being the first in the office and the last that leaves.
Yep.
This is something that I don't think that that's a bad idea necessarily.
No, yeah. A lot of people preach it.
I don't think it's a bad idea, but I think when you start having anxiety about that type of thing and you like trip over yourself to just rush into the office to be the first, it oftentimes causes for the rest of the day you're not doing anything. You made the public appearance of being there first, or when you stay the latest, you're like you're exhausted, you're burned out, but then you'll just sit there and look at your stupid screen for another hour to have everybody leave. This is a massive waste of human energy and potential. I feel that other humans will pick up on it.
Absolutely.
So I think that then it becomes very counterproductive.
Yeah.
So there's a fine balance between leading people and going first with whatever you expect them to do and between also being human and showing strength through vulnerability versus trying to pretend strength through the lack of vulnerability and weaknesses. Like you're trying to be this perfect human being and by that you're not yourself, you're not authentic, and people start mistrusting everything you say because right. They know they can't believe everything you say.
Right.
Because you're trying to keep up a persona versus there's something magical in people trusting each other. Maybe that's going to go to another problem.
Well, and being themselves.
Being yourself with all the good and the bad, even if you have many, many things that are wrong about you, if you're very authentic, people will at least respect you and know where you stand on things. If that's lacking and you're trying to lead people, they don't respect you and they don't know where you stand on things,
no.
You're fucked.
That's right.
You're fucked.
Yeah.
Right? It's horrible. So let's talk about the trust one because I think that's a big big early stage startup problem.
They don't trust each other?
They don't trust each other. Yeah.
How do you recognize that? How do you even figure that out?
So the way that I think you can recognize that is like one indicator of that is when everybody needs to be involved in certain things. Like fundraising is a good example. Oh, there's three co-founders and the three co-founders are together fundraising, going into every meeting, every call, everything. To me, that means that there's distrust because it's not productive to have three people sit in that meeting.
Maybe they don't know any better.
Many of them will not know any better. And I'm not sure if we made an episode about that, but that's a big like fundraising sin in my book is like collective fundraising is just a huge waste. But that's one indicator. But anything, basically, any type of activity that seems important, if like fundraising can be one thing, talking to the press can be another thing, going to any type of like flashy and important, anything that seems important, setting up, having a relationship with your lawyers. In those situations, if the founders, for instance, feel the need to always
be
in everything together, to me, it's an indicator of mistrust.
So take a step back, right? And go figure out how to get alignment, right?
Yeah. ask yourself, yeah, why are we doing this? Why do I'm the CTO or I'm the technical guy. Why am I in all legal meetings? Because I don't trust. Because I'm afraid if I'm disconnected from that, that
it could be a bad decision made.
Either a bad decision made or later on I could get a vulnerability. Maybe in some contract they sneak something in that's bad for me that I'm not aware of. Maybe our lawyers like my co-founder more and they'll help them with something. Yeah, Eden is rolling his eyes. But I do think people have these anxieties. So in order to protect themselves, they try to